Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me, he's back again, and you didn't even know that he was on before. It's Tim Palmer.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
Yay.
For the first time.
Yay. For the first time. First time redo. You and I, we had tried to talk about this movie before. I think the Academy is onto us.
I think
that the cinematic world is onto us because the episode, the audio got fucked up and we couldn't release it.
Adam McKay did not like what we said.
Adam McKay heard about what we said. The ghost panther floated through the walls of my apartment and came in and slashed the audio up with his claws. We talked about Vice. A movie that, as of right now, we're recording again on a Sunday,
yeah,
and it's Oscar Sunday when we're recording.
Yes.
And it is up for some Oscars.
Yeah.
And I think that Adam McKay realized the influence that both of us have.
Yeah, a lot of influence. A lot of influence.
And he didn't want us to mess with Oscar voters' hearts and minds before the ballots close.
I'm sure Christian Bale was trying to find where I live to talk some sense into me.
Oh,
but
probably. If there's anybody,
just couldn't do it.
If there's any working actor right now who definitely has some sort of rudimentary tracking skills and ability to hack into computer systems and decipher where someone lives based on their audio footprint,
It's Christian Bale.
That guy dedicated to the craft.
So dedicated.
It's crazy. Him and Liam Neeson, what a team they would have made together if they were out hunting people. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. They've never done a movie together, have they?
I don't think they have. I don't know if they will.
They probably won't.
It's probably going to be a few years before Liam Neeson is yanked out of the hole that he that he dug himself in voluntarily. He just kind of jumped right into the hole.
He jumped in full bore. It seems like he must enjoy it enough.
Being in the hole or beating up black people?
Being in the hole and beating up, I just think beating up people in general.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's most of what his movies have been over the past,
and
what,
he's also
5 or 7 years? When did Taken come out? Is that 2011?
Maybe, like 8 years ago, probably.
There have been three or four. The trilogy has ended, and then there's all the other movies in the Liam Neeson is kicking ass verse.
Yeah. Which is like a lot of movies, too.
There's a lot. There's one that just, that's the January staple, is Liam Neeson is starring in a movie where he gets to beat people up.
There's one that just came out.
Yeah, that's what he was doing the press for when he talked about how much he wanted to kill a black guy because he thought someone raped his, he had heard that someone had raped or sexually assaulted his friend. So he's like, I'm going to go murder a black man.
Oh my goodness, I have not heard this. That is awful.
Yeah, he was just on his press junket.
Also, that's an awful thing to even bring up on a press junket and then to make it even more terrible.
I was talking to somebody about this at the Comedy Store, and it has to have been one of these situations where, you know, for press junkets, you're doing these interviews dozens of times a day,
and you're going over the same questions,
and he must have just been so bored that he decided, you know what, I'm going to go rogue. I'm going to talk about a story that's valid to my life,
right?
And hopefully people will resonate and latch on, and he did not get the desired result, I think.
Latching on, but not in the way that he probably wanted.
Absolutely not. But anyway, we digress. I digress. We're here to talk once again, unless Gary Sanchez Productions...
Whoa, hopefully not.
...sends a computer-guided missile into my apartment while we're talking about this right now.
Oh,
we're here to talk about
Vice. I sure hope not.
I hope not either, man. People got to know about this movie. So what's your beef with Vice? Let's try it again.
I overall did not like it. I did not enjoy it. I enjoyed so few moments in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it in the theater. And when I go to the movies, I'm like, I want to enjoy this movie. I'm going because I think I'm going to like this movie. And I thought I would like it, but it was so over the top and so, to me, overblown in every single way that it was comical. I know it's supposed to be a satire, but it was comical to the point of, like, one of my biggest issues is that Adam McKay and everyone who made Vice is always constantly winking at the audience to remind you that you're watching a movie.
Right.
It's like, I know I'm watching a movie. I'm the one watching the movie in the theater. I know.
I'm here in the chair. I bought the ticket. I got the popcorn.
I know this isn't a real life experience. Like, I know I'm watching this movie.
I got 4D just to see Vice. Every time Christian Bale takes a step as Fat Dick Cheney, I want to feel the vibrations in my chair.
But there are so many cutaways, like, where it's just like, here's a funny gag that we can do. There's so much of that that's just like, hey, remember, we're making a movie so we can do this. and it'll be funny. Lots of times I didn't think it was very funny or funny at all.
It's a tricky line to walk what Adam McKay's trying to do with this movie, because he obviously super well known as a comedy director.
Right.
He and performer. He's been doing stuff in comedy for it's decades at this point. And is even comedy movie making a decade.
Yeah, that's true.
But he obviously has sort of achieved a level of, I don't want to say notoriety, that's not the right word, but achieved a level of clout. That's what I'm looking for. He's achieved a level of clout as a filmmaker where he can make movies that are comedic, but not necessarily overt comedies in the way that, say, Anchorman is.
Right.
And that's where The Big Short was, that broke the ground for him to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Big Short, super, super well received. Won Oscars for best original best adapted screenplay. Yeah. Won a lot of accolades. Very well deserved.
Yeah, and I love The Big Short.
Big Short's great. I think The Big Short is an all time great, because it took a really hard subject to explain.
Yeah. Complex, confusing.
Exactly, but it told the story in a way that was accessible and made you enjoy at least discovering how the story unfolded, even though the actual story is full of really, really shitty people.
Yeah, and in the movie, The Big Short has some shitty people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe part of the problem with Vice is that everyone in Vice is almost shitty.
I don't think there's anybody in Vice who walks out being somebody who you look back on it and you're like, yeah, I aspire to be that guy.
Yeah.
The only person that comes close, I think, is maybe Tyler Perry's Colin Powell.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. But he's just somebody who we see for a minute, and he gets thrown under the bus.
Right.
And, like, that's, like, his whole thing. But that was one of the few things where I didn't know about that, and that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still, like, such a tiny little morsel in this
movie. It's a blip.
Yes.
And it shows up so late in the movie, too. He has his like two or three scenes.
Yeah, he's like, I don't like this.
And they're maybe a minute long tops.
And then he's
out.
He does like the scene where he's like, I don't want to do this. And then the next scene, he does that, and then he's out of the movie. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
So that's it.
It's hard to make a movie that's entirely full of villains.
Yeah.
And make it funny.
Yeah, it's true. Because I think that like the Allison Pill character, his Cheney's daughter, is one of the only like sympathetic type characters in, I think, the whole movie, for me at least.
I agree with you. I think she actually, I mean, she's supposed to be kind of the heart of the movie.
Yeah.
And I say that knowing, well, there's obviously another heart that is super prominent in this movie. Thanks, plot devices.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Allison Pill, as Dick Cheney's lesbian daughter, is supposed to be, she's sort of like the line in the sand that you're not expecting Dick Cheney to ever cross. But if you know anything about the Cheney family, they crossed the line.
I didn't know that, so I was kind of like, oh, this sucks even more. Like, I was like, man, and I guess that was a way to show that he will do anything, or he'll allow anything to happen if it benefits him or whatever rise that he's trying to make or with his family. But yeah, I didn't know that he had a hard line against that, and then I didn't know that he crossed that line.
Right.
Either.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the politics of the time, especially. That was still, you know, that was in the late 2000s, and Proposition 8 was still a big issue in California. And nationwide, gay marriage and LGBT rights were so huge.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since the Republican Party was very against it.
Oh, so against it.
So against it. So for him to privately have to kind of do as much as he could to avoid making a public stance or having his family members make a public stance on that, it was a lot. So but again, okay, so this is my biggest gripe with the movie. And I think the movie is totally fine. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's horrible.
Uh-huh.
But it bugs me because I think it could have been so much greater. And I think that's because it took stuff that I already knew and explained it to me in a way that I didn't need it explained to me.
Yeah, it was like, remember when I made that movie, The Big Short, and it was really complex?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the story of Dick Cheney. It's not... It's not as complex, but I'm going to use all the same gimmicks that I used the last time around.
Right.
But I'll actually use more of them.
A lot more of them.
Of them.
It's like he took Big Short, he was able to tell it in a funny way, but also actually give the story some dramatic stakes.
Yes.
Vice, it felt like he thought, you know what was missing from The Big Short? A lot of slapsticky, sub-SNL level comedy.
Yes.
That we need to throw at the wall. Let's get, how about this? How many times can we beat the audience over the head with, this is a joke, I promise. I guarantee, look at how funny we can all be. Look how funny Alfred Molina can be.
Oh my gosh, one of my least favorite scenes in the whole movie. And one of the numerous scenes that is for nothing. It's literally for nothing. Like, they say it, then they act it out in this, like, gimmicky way.
Mm-hmm. It's cheap pool.
And it's for nothing. Because it's Alfred Molina as a waiter. And what, Chaney and Rumsfeld.
And
they're like advisors or whatever.
Yeah, two other dudes. Justin Kirk, I think, is in
there.
Yeah,
that I think
scene.
He's there. They're all at his fancy posh restaurant and they're talking. Alfred Molina comes up. Alfred Molina, this great actor, who I guess does a lot of weird things sometimes.
He does. I mean, Alfred Molina. Merlina.
Merlina. Alfred. Oh, Alfred Merlina. I thought it was Alfred Molina. I'm so confused.
Alford Merlina. He was Doc Ock, man. Mm-hmm. He's doing all kinds of weird stuff.
He does what he wants to do.
That's just let you know who else did what he wants to do? Dick Cheney.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what Vice is all about.
So Alfred Molina's a waiter, and he comes out and he's like, hello, gentlemen. What would you like tonight? Like, oh, tell us the menu. And the menu is like raiding third world countries, having nuclear weapons,
right.
like these,
torturing people in black sites.
Yeah, like four or five horrible things that he lists, and the whole time all these guys are going like, interesting. Mm. So you hear that, and you're like, okay, I get this joke. What will they, like, where will it go? And so then it's just, I think it's Rumsfeld, Steve Carell just goes, how about we just have all of it? And they all laugh, and I was like, what is this? Why?
It's so, because it's the kind of level of comedy that it's just, it makes me sad to see Adam McKay go to that level because, and this is a man who made so many movies that are full of slapstick and full of really dumb comedy.
Right, yeah.
It's I'm so glad that we've taken a couple weeks in between because now I've just like have stoked the fires of sadness and hatred about what Adam McKay did to the story even more. The problem with this in my mind is that this movie is trying to have it both ways comedic.
Yeah.
You can either do a good satire that actually manages to tell a story and find ways to subvert the way the story would naturally be told previously be told, like The Big Short did.
Yeah.
Or you can do a real big, dumb, balls to the wall. Hey, let's not even balls to the wall, getting kicked in the balls kind of movie. And Adam McKay kind of, it seems like he threw his hands up. He's like, I don't know which one to do. Let's do both.
Yeah. And people will like it because it has both the things that I'm good at now.
Right. I'm truly surprised that we did not see Sam Rockwell as George W. Bush getting kicked in the balls by somebody. And we came very close to that. We did come very close to that at the party scene.
Oh, that party scene. Because we know he's like a doofus, but it's just him drunk and like stumbling over people and making a scene.
Right.
And then don't they say, like, we hope we never see...
Yeah, they're like, oh, man, I bet that guy's never going to be in power. And then it's almost as if they should have just looked at the camera in slow motion and been like, like the Tim Allen noise should have come out as soon as that part happened.
That party scene, there's also... So I feel like Adam McKay had trusted his audience more with The Big Short.
Yeah, he definitely did.
And he explained things here and there, but he also let you figure things out as they were happening.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, everything was beating you over the head, and everything was so explicitly like explained to you that it didn't feel earnest to me, didn't feel unique. Like in that party scene, Dick Cheney and Lynn, played by Amy Adams,
right,
are walking to this party, and they're like the C's are parting for them because he's an up and coming, and she's his wife. And Lynn looks at Dick and goes, you know, everyone here is afraid of us, and they either want to be you or have sex with me or work with us. And it's like, yeah, I know. I'm watching this. I'm watching the movie. Right. I know, and I can tell from how the scene is playing out. Like, you don't have to like spell every single thing out for your audience.
It's, you know what I think it is, and I remember watching this movie. I also saw it in theaters because I too was very excited to see it, and I watched it. I had the added bonus of going to see it while I was visiting my family over Christmas. Huh. My family lives in Texas, so I went and saw it at a sold-out screening on Christmas Day.
Wow.
At Tinseltown Theaters in Grapevine, surrounded by the people who were, I don't know if they were the actual intended audience for this movie. Uh-huh. I've been thinking more and more about this. Who do you think Adam McKay was making this movie for?
I mean, he tries to say he didn't, but I think he made it for liberals. I think he made it for liberals.
I think he did. I think he made it for liberals to watch it and pat themselves on the back more for disliking the entire Bush administration.
It's literally like him preaching to the choir. He's not making it to have a discussion.
Right.
He's just making it to be like, oh, look at Dick Cheney, what a loser and an asshole.
All the bad things he did.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, can you believe he did those things? And, like, I feel like that's what he did. And he's like, and it's like him and all of his friends, like, just nudging each other, like, yeah, right? Yeah, I remember that. That's good. That's good. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I remember seeing it, and I watched the movie, and I was sitting next to an old, presumably conservative man. Like, I don't know what he drove to get to the movie theater today, but I guarantee it was a truck. I guarantee it was a lifted truck with some sort of a gun rack or a gun related sticker on there.
So you don't think any kind of hybrid truck?
No. Hybrid truck, please. This is Texas, buddy. We don't care about wind power. We care about oil. There, he probably had an oil derrick that he towed around. His son was probably named Oil Derrick. That's what kind of a red-blooded, red conservative man this man was. And he was sitting next to me, and after the movie, and he was talking to, I think it was his wife. They looked like they were married. It could have been an older daughter. I don't know. Uh-huh. But he looked over and he goes, I did not like that. And I was like, what did you think? Did you really think you were going to like that? I don't understand how he could have said that this movie is for conservatives.
Yeah.
What is he trying to do? Is he trying to be like, look what your man did. You guys were wrong about him.
Yeah, like,
ya?
Look what you allowed to happen and what you were voting for.
Right.
And on the side of, I don't know. Did you stay to watch like the end credit thing where they're doing the focus group?
Oh, I did. I did stay for that. And I was just sat there and waited. And I was like, all right.
I mean, I
get what you're doing, but it's because you've spent the whole movie beating me over the head.
Yeah.
With what you're trying to do.
It was almost that. I talked to somebody who really liked the movie, and we disagreed on things, but we talked about that end scene, the end credit scene, and he was like, yeah, it didn't need to be in there. It kind of ruined it. It kind of took away, because it was like this big gag.
Right.
Joke thing about like focus groups and a conservative and a liberal getting into a fight. And it's just like, are you trying to say that's what this movie's supposed to do? I don't know. It felt very unnecessary and very like tacked on.
Right.
And also not funny.
Also not funny. It's a movie.
Funny.
It really tries so hard to just prove over and over again that it is a comedy.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw the trailer for it, I was like, this is probably going to be a really sharp, funny movie that also will feel like The Big Short.
Yeah.
Which, that's on me to expect that.
Yeah.
I am the one who expected that based on my experience watching Adam McKay create The Big Short and hearing about things like Succession, which I hear is a movie that, or not a movie. God damn it. For those of you who are wondering, that was my whiteboard just falling off the wall. I'll deal with that later. I don't have time for this right now. Anyway, that is this. Succession's a show where it's a very played like a drama,
uh-huh,
and it's shot like a drama, but the lines are comedy, and it plays out like a comedy.
Yeah.
And Vice did not achieve that.
No.
Vice had moments that were like, we're going to throw the credits in the middle of this movie, and that's going to be a funny time. Won't it?
A lot of people really like that. A lot of people really like that mid-credit sequence, or like quarter credit sequence.
Like last time we recorded this podcast, I liked that.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
As a part that I liked, and now I'm like, but man, like, okay, sure, you're showing us the DNA of what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't need to know that. Make a movie that's smarter than it. Make a movie that makes you feel... Because that's what I liked about The Big Short. The Big Short talked to you and made you feel smart even when it was explaining situations that you needed to know. Like, what? Like, okay, cool. We're going to have Margot Robbie in a bathtub explain credit default swaps. Great. I don't feel smart watching that, but I'm like, I actually understand what you're doing because that's how you're going to get us to pay attention by having a naked woman in a bubble bath.
Exactly. A scene, if it would have been a scene between, I mean, Adam McKay is making a lot of movies with a lot of white guys. If it had been a scene between two white guys just talking about credit default swaps, that would have been a lot harder to wrap your head around and a lot easier to tune out.
Right.
So those brief interludes in The Big Short were great because they actually explained something that was important that we needed to know to the story.
Right.
I felt like it was never the case in these. The one that was closest to important was when they were doing the tabletop and putting down the little pieces to say who, like all the people that Cheney had in the White House.
Right.
And in the Senate and Congress.
And then, like, the State Department and all that stuff. Yeah.
And that was, I was like, oh, this is interesting. It started good. But with everything in the movie, it just went too long, or it got too big. He's like, oh, I have A, B, and C ideas. They're all part of this one idea. Let's just put all of it in.
Right.
So they put down the pieces, and then at one point they all get swiped off the board. I'm like, okay, cool, that's it. And then and the next cut, they put all the pieces back on the board. I'm like, what is happening? Why are you doing this? I don't understand.
There's so much in the movie that it really does feel like it is... It very much feels like it's preaching to the choir. And then it's also assuming that the choir is really fucking dumb.
Yeah.
That's, you know, one of the things that in retrospect I'm reflecting on. Remember the scene? It's sort of near the beginning. It's right when Dick Cheney first goes to Washington and he decides to link up with Donald Rumsfeld. And Steve Carell, as Donald Rumsfeld, is just talking about, basically, the gist of what he's saying is, politicians are scumbags and politics is all bullshit based on who has the most money shifted around.
Yeah.
And he's saying it like it's novel information, but this is shit that we've known for years and has been part of public discourse for a really long time.
I wonder if the idea is supposed to be that Dick Cheney is so new and so fresh at that point that he doesn't know that, and Donald Rumsfeld instills in Dick Cheney what you just said, that politics are bad. He's like, oh man, I didn't know that's what politics were. That's what politics are. Time to be like that.
But that's what it's, and that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But it's like, we already know that as an audience. You're not doing anything by making Dick Cheney figure that out as a character.
Yeah. And let's be honest, Dick Cheney already knew this.
Yeah.
Before.
Of course he did.
And that's why he wanted to link up with Donald Rumsfeld. That's why he liked Donald Rumsfeld.
We don't need the scene of Donald Rumsfeld being like, kid, guess what? Everybody's fucked and nobody knows it.
Yeah.
Let's get the scene. I understand that from just of Donald Rumsfeld talking to the Senate pages and being like, hey, guess what? And saying whatever the fuck he says. This is how I set myself apart from the rest of the Congress people who are here. And Dick Cheney being like, I want to work with that guy.
Ugh.
Cool. I get what that is because it's subtle and also it elaborates on the character. Then you have to go and show us at gunpoint, basically, Adam McKay of just being like, no, watch.
Yeah.
If you don't, I have to make sure you understand this person's motivations.
You get it, right?
Do you understand?
The movie, for me, the editing also is so much. It's so over-edited. One of my favorite things to say about it is that at one point, he's talking to Sam Rockwell as George Bush, and they're like, we need to have boots on the ground, and they cut to an insert shot of boots on the ground. And I'm
right.
Like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. And the scene where George Bush is getting convincing Dick Cheney to be his vice president, and that cuts away they're all the cutaways to him, Dick Cheney, fly fishing, and like as he's reeling in George Bush.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
I get it. These are good actors. Like, I can get that from what they. Their facial expressions, how they're talking, what they're saying. I can get it from the scene. I don't need all these scenes, like cutaway scenes, to make this scene twice as long as it needs to be.
Right. If you're going to pull some Terrence Malick shit and show us things,
essentially,
then you don't also need to be telling us what's happening at the same time.
Oh.
Pick a lane, McKay.
We should talk about what we think what we think the scene they're going to show tonight for
Oh my God. Yeah, what Christian Oscar Bale. Scene are they going to show for Christian Bale?
Because I remember before we talked about it, you were like, they're totally going to show that Shakespearean.
It's probably, yeah, it's got to be the Shakespearean
monologue scene.
Well, the Shakespearean thing, I think, is going to get picked for Best Original Screenplay.
Oh, that's right.
That's
yeah,
the one.
That's right. Because
it's nominated for Best Original Screenplay. I doubt it's going to win.
I don't think it will.
I don't think it will.
Either.
But that's the scene they're going to show.
Yeah,
because that's the scene everybody is talking about how brilliant it is. Is it that brilliant?
I guess only because it sounds like it could be Shakespeare, but it's not. But put me in a room for a couple hours and I'll write something that sounds like Shakespeare that's not Shakespeare.
Right.
Like,
there's literally an expression talking about if you put enough monkeys in a room with a bunch of typewriters, they'll bang out the works of Shakespeare. So you're doing cool. So we're supposed to give you an award because you did something that chimpanzees can do if you give them enough free time.
And I get the idea. It's funny. As you become less enthused about the movie, I've become more like, maybe it's whatever. But I'm still, like, very frustrated by these certain elements of it.
Right.
That scene, like, I get the idea behind it. I feel like that's like a brainstorm idea or, like, a first draft idea.
Mm-hmm.
But then our narrator, which we could talk about in a second,
says, we got to talk about the narrator.
No one knows what went through Dick Cheney's head when he decided to do this, and he's just brushing his teeth, talking to his wife. Like, no one knows what went through his head. So but let's see what it might look like anyway.
Right.
And then it's all in Shakespearean affectation, and it's like,
it's something that, like, it's something that, yeah, I feel like it's a stand-up comics from the 80s routine of, like, I think it would have gone a little something like this.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
That's how it is. And then that's the same thing with the narrator. The narrator shows up, and you don't know who it is, and Jesse Plemons playing the narrator.
Who's great.
Who's great.
And he also is one of the more sympathetic characters in the... I mean, he's not really in the movie, but you never are like, oh, I can't believe you're on screen.
Right.
Like, he's good, but there's that setup in the beginning. He's like, I'm the narrator of this story, and I'm really close to the Cheneys. I really know Dick. You'll find out why later.
Right. And you're thinking that he's probably going to be like an estranged family member or a former staffer or something.
Something like that.
And then you want to drop that big reveal? You want to hit this with the spoiler?
Was it 3/4 of the way through the movie? He's been our narrator the whole time. Dick Cheney's had 2 heart attacks at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Played for comedic effect.
Yep.
Essentially.
As you do.
Yeah. His reality of like, oh, I'm having a heart attack right now, I guess we should probably call somebody, is funny but also dumb. I guess. So Jesse Plemons has been our narrator the whole time. And the last time we see him, he's out jogging and talking. And he's like, well, and that's when Dick Cheney died or whatever he says. And then all of a sudden, he gets hit by a car. And he's just laying there dead. And it turns out this whole time, our narrator has been the person who's going to die and give Dick Cheney his heart.
Right. And it's like, come on. You're going to give us a literal unreliable narrator who doesn't actually know anything about him?
And it's for that joke that Dick Cheney is so awful that he takes literally like, his heart like can't take being part of his body, but then he also has to take a nice, seemingly nice person's heart also and just like, whoop,
right,
put it into my body now.
But guess what? That's also a joke that people made already when Dick Cheney actually had a heart attack and had to get replaced with whatever kind of synthetic, cybernetic, cyborg heart.
Yeah.
This is nothing new. This is not breaking new ground.
Yeah.
That's the biggest disappointment to me, is that Big Short broke new ground, I felt like. And it seems, I haven't seen Succession, but it seems like Succession is breaking new ground.
Yeah.
Adam McKay is a filmmaker and a comedian who is recognized rightfully for breaking new ground in comedy.
Yeah.
And breaking new ground in storytelling. And this is, unfortunately, it feels a lot like him resting on his laurels and resting on the one really, really good thing about this movie, and the thing that does elevate it for me and keeps it from being a bottom of the bargain bin kind of pick is the acting.
I've thought more and more that I disagree with you on that.
Really?
I think almost everyone is playing a caricature.
See,
I know that's the minority opinion.
That is the minority. I think, why do you think they're playing caricatures?
Everyone, because Dick Cheney, so Christian Bale got fat and affects some kind of an accent and plays older, but he's essentially playing a supervillain with very little motivation, and everyone around him is just almost like bad to be bad. Bad because they're supposed to be bad. Like, We had talked about his lawyer who's like this conniving, like mad scientist of evil who's
right,
like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I've been in the library. I've been in this law library for 4 days and I finally discovered a loophole so we can do the most terrible thing ever. Just like, but why?
Right.
Because I'm a bad person and I want to do it. And Dick Cheney is also a bad person.
And
I know he wants
to do it.
Twists
his mustache and throws a woman onto a train track tied up.
And like Lynn, like Amy Adams is amazing, but it's just like, okay, play a stoic woman.
Man, I mean, he kind of got me there.
Like, that's it. That's all she does is play a stoic woman. She doesn't have much of a personality.
Steve Carell just plays against type. Steve Carell just plays the most unlikable person possible.
Yeah.
Who's not Dick Cheney in this
movie.
He's
just loud and unlikable.
When are they finally going to give Steve Carell an Oscar for playing against type? When are they finally going to do that?
I guess it's true. He does. I mean, what is his type, you think?
Everybody, I think, recognizes Steve Carell as a comedic actor.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers him from The Daily Show or The Office.
Yeah.
Or any number of other comedy things he's done over the years. But I remember all the Oscar buzz around him in Foxcatcher.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember him getting some buzz for this, for Vice.
Yeah. He got buzz even for...
And for Beautiful Boy.
Beautiful Boy. And even, like, the way back where he played a very unlikable, serious character.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Steve Carell's bound to get an Oscar one of these days for playing against hype.
And for all... Because there's so many unlikable characters in this movie... The one scene where he's, like, hiding because he's going to lose his job and he's going to be the scapegoat was a little bit weird to me, but it also was one of the only times where I was like, oh, it's the only time they really felt like there were any real stakes in a sense and where I felt like any kind of true emotion in the movie.
Me too. But I think that that is a product of the actors.
I do think that's true.
I don't think it's a product of the script. I think the script led us to that moment. But that is a moment that could have easily... This movie is the kind of movie that's going to... I already feel like it's going to languish in paid cable or cut up on regular, like TNT or AMC.
To make it like a PG-13.
Right. And it's going to be like that for years. And it could have... If it didn't have Adam McKay behind it, this is the kind of movie that would have been a straight-to-TV movie.
Yeah.
This is the kind of movie that would not have had any Oscar buzz. It would barely have gotten Emmy buzz.
Yeah.
It would have been like a sub Paterno level movie. And yet, Adam McKay's riding high. He's got really powerful, very at the top of their game actors.
Yeah.
Christian Bale's probably going to win Best Actor tonight.
He probably will.
He probably will. And we're all going to laugh again when he thanks Satan again for his role like he did at the Golden Globes. And you know what? Adam McKay is hopefully going to make a movie that, you know, I don't mind a political comedy. I don't mind an issue-based comedy. I thought, like I said, The Big Short I thought was a really fantastic movie. But I don't know. Like, is there anything, and we'll wrap it up with this, is there anything that you feel like either could have been changed in this movie or is a subject that you think would have suited Adam McKay's sort of newfound filmmaking style a little bit better? Like, what do you want to see next?
Question.
It is a huge question.
I do think, what I think could have been done better, I know it's the whole movie is supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, and maybe that's not as much what I wanted, even though I knew it was a satire, but it's so tongue-in-cheek.
The tongue has protruded through the cheek.
The whole time.
Right. You have destroyed your cheek.
Just because he sets up his own movie by saying Dick Cheney is one of the most secretive men in history, and so we had a hard time figuring out stuff about him, but we fucking tried. And like, it seems like such a throwaway thing. Like, so I still tried to make this movie, but we just like put in a bunch of jokes because I didn't know what else to do about it.
Right.
He didn't. It was almost like he didn't take the subject matter seriously enough because he didn't like it. Essentially, like, he's, like, roasting Dick Cheney in this whole movie. So it's, like, he doesn't even kind of mind his P's and Q's to tell us an interesting, thoughtful, thought-out story.
Right.
And it was very bothersome.
It's very bothersome.
Have you seen the trailer for his new documentary on Amazon?
No. I've seen the billboards for it. Yeah, the giant beast that is our global economy or something like that.
I watched the trailer.
How does it look?
I don't think it's for me. It looks... really boring. It looks really boring.
Oh, no.
And it's about like money laundering. And I was like, okay, cool. I don't care about money laundering. I'm not laundering money. No one I know is laundering money. Money laundering doesn't like affect my life at all. I guess the global economy doesn't really affect my life at all either. But I don't know. Cal Penn is in it, which is cool.
Okay.
So, but it's also just a lot of like looking and like talking to the camera. So we'll see. But it's a straight I didn't realize that it's a straight docuseries.
Gotcha.
I would like him to tackle something. I want to tackle something similar to The Big Short. That's not. It's not like an issue that comes from one side or the other.
Right.
Like it's just like an issue that everyone dealt with that had problems with and had ramifications, had consequences. But it's not like just from the right or just from the left. It's just something that, like, The Big Short went so much more towards just everyday people.
Right. Yeah. That's what you get moments like the folks from one of the firms in The Big Short showing up in Florida and seeing all these foreclosed houses and this development that's empty. And it feels like a real earned moment because it's like, oh, this is actually the way things went.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's hard at this point, I think, to do another story that's based around the economic crisis.
Right.
Because who knows what's going to happen. I don't know. I mean, I don't really give a shit about, like, let's talk about Bitcoin. I feel like Adam McKay would, that's like something he might try and do.
Because it seems very prescient and.
Right, yeah.
Like, of the moment.
The thing I would love, you know what? I mean, I asked this question. I didn't even have, like, a good answer ready for it.
I was wondering, like, do you have an answer for this?
I don't have an answer for this. It's tricky. I gave you a tall order, Tim. You know, I think the thing I would like to see Adam McKay make a movie about next, especially if we're going to be in sort of this issue-y kind of vein, I would love to see Adam McKay make a movie that is about the... You remember the... And I don't remember if we covered this last time or not, but I hope we did and you vaguely remember that we talked about this, cuz I'm starting to remember something about it now. I would love to see him make a movie that is about the Clive and Bundy group, where they are people who are it's talking about land ownership and people getting their land taken away from them by the federal government.
We talk about this, yes.
I would love to see him do that movie because it feels kind of like a small scale, like I would love to, small scale Dr. Strangelove kind of
we have to have
like a standoff with these people who have taken over a national park. How ridiculous does that sound? The whole story is ludicrous.
Yeah, but it's also insane.
It's got issues that it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I know people are... The wall is coming up as an issue right now along the border, and I'm from Texas, which is obviously a border state, and a lot of red voters and a lot of Trump voters in that state. But now, a lot of people who live specifically along the border who voted for Donald Trump don't like that he is taking their land using eminent domain to fund the wall. So it's the kind of thing that's like, oh, yeah, I think people on both sides will be able to see, like, okay, this is a movie that's about government overreach. And it's a movie about, like, people overreacting in such a way, but it's also like you could put family in there, you could put cops in there, you could put all, there's so many elements to make that story that it's a story that is based in reality and it has sort of like an enlightening message potential to it. But it also, I think it would skew in a way that wouldn't have old white dudes coming out of the movie being like, I fucking hate that. I don't want to see that ever again.
Yeah, it could be a more human movie.
Yeah.
Like with more of like a center that we could identify with and relate to. I was thinking, I was thinking about it, I was like, I think it'd be cool to see, I don't know if I want Adam McKay to do this or if I just want to see this, like about the space program now.
Yeah.
Like what that looks like NASA existing, not existing, existing, not existing. Like what does it look like to be, because I saw First Man a little while ago, like what does it look like to be an astronaut or in the space program now?
Right.
Like, is it depressing? Is it still really cool? Like, do you have high hopes about things? Or are you like, well...
I mean, the Mars rover just shut off. They can't connect with it anymore. So now they're like, ah, shit, what are we going to do now? We got Elon Musk coming over trying to jump, you know, trying to hone in on our territory.
Yeah, throwing cars into space.
What are we going to do?
So I think that could be an interesting thing where you could do a little bit more whole cloth stuff. Because kind of like The Big Short, where you have to lay things out for us that we don't know.
Right.
And that can be interesting and intriguing, which I think is what we didn't really have in Vice. It wasn't very interesting. It wasn't very intriguing. The only thing that I really was like, oh, is that really how it went down? Was in the situation room.
Right.
During 9/11. That was the only time where I was like, is this really what happened? Is this really like how this scene like played out? Like that was intriguing, but also very depressing.
This fucking movie, man.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming back, Tim.
Oh, I appreciate you're welcome.
You coming
it was my
back
pleasure.
And talking about it. And
we talked about different things, same things and different things, which was kind of cool.
It's nice. We had a couple weeks to marinate on. Yeah. You know? Where can the listeners find you? I know you perform regularly at the Pack Theater.
Yes. I do two shows at the Pack Theater. I do Book Report, which is every fourth Saturday night, and we take a kid's book and write sketches about it and just kind of ruin it for whatever you remember it being. And then I do Shitpost, which is every first Saturday at midnight.
Right after the
That's right.
Spike the Punchline.
That's right.
And this episode will be out the day before Ooh. We do both of those shows.
Oh, man.
So come check out Spike the Punchline at 10:30, which is my show with Dean Peters, Jonathan Grant, Dallas Hoisington. And then we have...
And then Shitpost right after midnight, that. All about the internet and all the weird, weird, weird stuff
yeah.
that exists on the internet.
We're bringing back a fan favorite. We're bringing back Chortle Combat this month.
Ooh, I heard it was so much fun.
It was. And we're doing that. We got some other special guests. We got some music. We got some poetry, I think. We're going to do all kinds of weird shit.
It's going to be awesome.
And, yeah.
Oh, I'm also on... So, I think I said this last time. I'm on Facebook, so if you want to, you know, find me on Facebook and be friends, don't be weird about it.
Don't be weird.
Don't be weird
no
about
need.
It. But I'm like, oh, man, you're like one of the best guests that Jay's ever had on Blockbusting. We should totally be friends. Yeah. That actually might be a weird way to do it. Don't do that.
I think that'd be flattering. You should
I
do that.
It would be flattering. And then I guess I'm mostly on Instagram at Past Photo Future.
Past Photo Future.
It's easy to me, but it's confusing to other people, and I get it.
Who cares?
I get it.
You can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram, jlightcomedy.com, for show dates. And if you live out of Los Angeles, then guess what? I'm going on the road with Roast Battle coming up Ooh. The next couple months, so keep your eyes peeled on my website. I'll start posting those dates as they roll in, and you can get all the stuff you want. About me. That's all
that
there.
J-Lite content.
Oh, it's all there, baby. And if you like the podcast, share it, subscribe, leave a rating, tell a friend, and let me know what you think on the old social medias.
Tell your friend Christian Bale.
Tell your friend
Christian Bale.
Tell your friend Christian Bale. Let's
tell your
get
friend
him
Adam McKay.
Here. Tell your friend Adam. Tell your friend Lin Chaney.
Yeah. The actual Lin
Be
Chaney.
The real Lin Chaney. At the real Lin Chaney on
Everywhere.
Twitter and Instagram. TheRealLinChaney.com for show dates. This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.